Here we go. All right. Now, last Sunday, or Sunday before last, we had a real good time in Arizona. That was a super duper trip. Brother Chris said, tell everybody hello, and he'll be out here sometime in July just to visit, not to preach, but just to visit. So.
Well, let me tell you, on Sunday coming home from Savannah, God was really with us, because I'm telling you, that tractor trailer behind us slammed on his brakes and smoke coming out from under it, and he comes right up beside us. Beckett was moving to the left, he was moving to the right, because people were going all over him.
Dead stop.
And he saw. I thank God. We were nervous wreck after that anyway. 65 mile an hour. But God took care of us, let me tell you.
Amen.
That wasn't me.
That's his job. That's the angel's job. All right, now we're talking about the book of Romans, and we began, you can go back a couple weeks ago, and we just kind of set a stage or what the book of Romans was about. Paul had not been to Rome yet, but he was going to Rome later on, but there were saints that were already in Rome, so he was talking to them. You got to remember, some of these letters are to either where he had been or where he was going. He was admonishing the people that were there that they had kept the faith, that there was your faith is spoken throughout the whole world in the book of Romans. But now you got to remember too what happened in Rome. Rome was the seat of the Roman Catholic Churches. They had not started the Roman Catholic Church at that time, but the seeds were being planted for Rome, Italy, to be the seat of the Roman Catholic Church, which, like Brother Branham said, it had to come from a part of, like we're doing it. That's why I said it. You can see the seals in these writings. They didn't see it, but we can see it.
Right.
That there was a true church in Rome, but there was also a false church that was coming up out of Rome, because Nicaea, the Nicene Council, is where they all met, and the people from Rome. Rome had physically conquered the world at this time. Rome was still in Jerusalem, because remember, Titus comes in AD 70 and destroys it. Well, this is AD 60. This is before he even gets there. All right. So, but there's a group of people, bride, that is there that Paul needs to admonish. Paul needs to talk to him. But now remember, this book, this whole book is written to Christians, but it has multi-levels.
Right.
He was writing to the Romans, but you and I can glean what we get out of it in this time. That's not old writings. Sure, it's a couple thousand years old, but it's not old. It's the eternal Word of God. God thought so much of it, he put it in the Bible. And it was written by Paul. Notes written by Paul that was letters to the Romans. All right? And now remember, too, as we read, I want you to help me read this, but I want to, we talked about something called interpolating. And Paul is a master interpolator. Now what happens is, it's like Brother Branham. You remember when the Holy Spirit told Brother Branham to pick up his pen and write on spoken words of original seed? Well, see, that was what the Holy Spirit said. Now Brother Branham preached a sermon. He interpolated all the different things. Before he read that note, he interpolated the whole sermon of the spoken words of original seed. All right? But what God wrote was what God wrote. He said, pick up your pen and write. All right? So he was writing what God said. Now, same thing with Paul. Because Paul, he talks to not anybody here right now, but once we get closer, he starts calling names. Well, he's writing to, see, I'm going to write to Sister Johnny. Well, Sister Johnny, I hope everything's fine. Well, see, that's Paul. But he's put in the Word of God, not his chapters or verses. All right? Remember, these are letters. There's no chapters or verses when Paul was writing this. Man put those chapters and verses in when King James, the scribes, started putting the Bible together. But watch what Paul is in. How interpolating works is that you make a statement, and then the comments that you have. Sometimes when we're preaching, if you were to write it down like Brother Dale, many times if we were going to do the sermon in 82 of the seals, he'll read what Brother Brown says, he'll read the Bible, and then he'll interpolate. Now, that may be 30 minutes for us as ministers because we're interpolating. We're not interpreting.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. We're interpolating, which means we are inserting something in there to tell you what it means. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes, and I was thinking this morning, sometimes we're wrong. Preachers are wrong. But God's not wrong. When Paul's writing this, you might know one thing for sure. Whatever's in parentheses, sure it was Paul's thought, but that thought came through the Holy Ghost for me and you to be able to understand or interpret it better. Everybody got that? Okay. So now let's read. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now look. He's just right there. He's interpolating. Because watch, this is what he should have said. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, see, you wouldn't get the whole meaning of that if he hadn't interpolated in verse 2. Anywhere you see parentheses, that is an interpolation. Or he is interpreting, okay? He is interpreting because it's the Holy Ghost through him. Right. You and I can do that and be wrong. He couldn't be wrong doing this. To me, this is the Holy Spirit stopping Paul and saying, okay, Paul, you need to insert this right here. Now, it may not have happened. He may have just got the thought. But remember, if he's writing the Bible, then that thought was from God. It wasn't his thought. Right. So he says, look, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. So what did he do? He took them back to the Old Testament.
Tying the Scripture together.
That's correct. He's tying the Scripture together. He says he's going all the way back. Because remember, there is no Holy Scripture that Paul's looking at except right here. From here to here.
Okay.
This has not been written yet.
Right, right.
This is the New Testament.
Right.
So he's not talking about the Holy Scripture. He is writing Holy Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that he knows that at that time, but he is writing Holy Scripture.
Right.
Alright? So what he's saying, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. Why? Separated people. Called of God to be an apostle. Alright? Concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Alright? Now remember, now watch. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That's what concluded the whole thing. All right? By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among whom are ye. Now see, when they said that ye, it comes all the way to this day. It wasn't just the people he was writing to Romans. It was ye is you.
Right.
Okay? Because remember, you got to make this personal. He's writing to the Romans, but he's writing to me and you. This is one of the longest letters Paul ever wrote. So there's something in here, and it's right after the book of Acts. Like I said, it was positionally placed right after the book of Acts. So there must be something significant about reading this longest letter from Romans, because it really is not, chronologically, it's not in the right order. Because he wrote Corinthians in AD 59, he wrote different ones in AD 56, but this is AD 60, he's writing the Romans. God, through those scholars, put this right where it's supposed to be.
Exactly.
Because remember, everything's right where it's supposed to be. The prophet of God vindicated it, it's right where it's supposed to be. All right. Yeah. So this book of Romans is very important, because why? Like I said last Sunday, there's three things. If you want to write these down, you can. Alright? Justification is, let's see right here, let me get it, because Schofield got, I love his footnotes. I mean, you can take it if you want to, certain things you can take, that's fine. But it has an introduction, it's in seven parts. The whole world is guilty before God, 118 through 320. 2 is justification through the righteousness of God by faith, the gospel remedy for guilt, which is chapter 3 through chapter 5. The third one is the crucifixion with Christ, the resurrection of life, and walking in the Spirit is chapter 5 through 8. Number 4 is the full results of the blessing of the gospel, chapter 8 through 14. 5 is parenthesis. The gospel does not abolish the covenant promise to Israel. Chapter 9 through 11. And then number 6 is Christian life and service. Chapter 12 through 15. And then 7 is the outflow of Christian love. Chapter 16. 1 through 27. So it's the 16th chapter. And we'll get into that. But I want you to... I've always been the kind of guy that you just don't read it. I need a little background. Give me something. Why is Paul saying what he's saying while he's saying it right here? Why is he saying it? So this will kind of give you the reason that I believe God put it right after the book of Acts. Because the book of Acts, you've got tender people that have the Holy Ghost. And then he knows that you and I are going to read this right after the book of Acts, if we're going to read it in order, that we're going to read this book of Romans. Because it talks about justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right, so to me, that's everything you need. There is no, sure, there's plenty to add, but once you get that, then it's God adding to God. That sounds strange, but it is. It's God adding to God. Okay. Now, verse 3. Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. What Paul did, Paul's saying, he's transferred whatever he resurrected, he transferred it to us. So that's what he's doing, by the resurrection from the dead. Read it like Paul, that Paul is writing it to you.
Okay.
So you need to compartmentalize. This Paul is speaking to you. There was a resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, what's it for? He's telling you. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith of all nations. Now, see that? Obedience to the faith. We're going to talk about that a little bit maybe this afternoon about justification. Remember, is not something you can do. You can't justify yourself.
Right.
God has to be the justifier. But you can walk through sanctification and stop at different places, or you can become fully sanctified. Okay, so that's your... it's like Brother Branham, we're going to quote this afternoon, where Brother Branham said that you're not saved by the blood.
Okay.
You're saved by the... You can have pounds and pounds of blood and it'd do you no good.
Okay.
You're saved by the life that was in the blood. But because the life and the blood were connected, then... What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But we know, as Christians, it's not the literal blood. Because some came through the literal blood. You could drown in the blood of Jesus Christ and die and go to hell.
Amen.
Literally.
Amen.
But if you got the life of the man, so what does the blood do? The blood sanctifies, it just keeps you washed. Because remember in the Old Testament, if we may get to it this afternoon, the Old Testament, they sprinkled 7 times, they would sprinkle the blood. When you got to the children of Israel, they put the blood over the doorpost. Now look, it didn't sanctify them people in there. Because that was the blood of animals. But it was a type that when the death angel came by, he said, okay, they did what you told them to do, God, so I'm not going to bother.
Yeah.
But now that token is not just over the doorpost.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It walks in Walmart, it walks in Target, it walks to the gas station, it walks in your house.
Yeah. Right.
Okay? It's good to apply the token.
Right.
That's okay. But I can apply the token to my children and they die and go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
But once that token goes in them,
amen.
That's why we pray that our kids get the new birth. Yeah. That our family gets the new birth.
Yeah.
You know what? They can take their chance at the white throne, but I'd rather them be born again.
Yeah.
Blood over the doorpost don't do you any good now.
That's right.
It's the blood that keeps you sanctified, but that life is what went inside of you.
Yeah.
And then what? You are the token. See, that's what the seals reveal. The seals reveal that you are the token. Yeah, well, okay, then be an unbeliever. I can't. Like an old beekeeper told me, he said, there's 3 things that will kill you. Can't, couldn't, and wouldn't.
That's right.
And he's right. Because what does can't do? Can't puts a, shuts the door.
That's right.
Couldn't shut the door.
Okay.
I wouldn't shut the door. Okay. So, can't, couldn't, and wouldn't. Those are three friends that you don't want in your house. All right? So remember that. Maybe that's a little something you can take home. I can't. When you say I can't, that means you just, you I can't do that. I can't take a body change. Why? Why? You tell me why. Your body's already changed according to the Bible. Those who He's justified, He's already glorified.
That's right.
Amen?
You know, we're actually in a situation where we can look forward and believe that that's going to involve us.
That's right. Well, see, you got to look at Paul. Paul, but see, now watch Paul. Paul knew he wasn't going to take a body change.
That's right.
It was revealed to him. And we'll read it later on, maybe on further, where he says, where Brother Brown said Paul was trying to get them people out of their, get it out of their head that Christ was coming right then. Alright? Because Paul knew, as a prophet, Paul could see into this age. And he knew that they weren't going to have a rapture in the first church age. That was just the beginning of the church age. Alright? So, but that's why the Bible is that onion peel. You can just keep peeling back. You can take a sanctification that'll clean you and set you aside, like I told you a couple Sundays ago, you know, when I was using Zach Black, you know, the unclean spirit goes out. All right? But now remember one thing's for sure. When you take sanctification in the level we're talking about in seals, it's not that old nature's attached to your soul. That old nature's dead.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's just that Adamic nature that's in this realm that even Jesus was attacked by in His spirit realm. Okay? So we are attacked in the spirit realm. They kind of looked at me a little cross-eyed in Arizona the other day when I told them, I said, your flesh don't sin. It doesn't.
Your spirit.
Your flesh is born in sin.
That's right.
And it's getting older because of the fall.
That's right.
But your flesh never sinned a day in its life. That's where we got to realize. Because I told them, and then when I gave them the scripture, which I haven't given here either, the Lord just kind of showed it to me. Well, not really the scripture, but Brother Brown said, smoking, gambling, running around, cussing. He named up, he said, that is what? Not sin. That's what you do in your body, with your body.
Amen.
He said, what is sin? Now, you don't unbelieve with this.
Right.
This has no unbelief in it.
Right.
It's a product of unbelief.
Amen.
But this has no belief in it. What is an unbelief is, if you're born again, it's not in your soul. So let's squeeze it down to that spirit realm.
That's right.
That's where your unbelief is. You still have unbelief.
What is sin?
Right. See, that woman, see what she did? She was taught that this did everything. But remember, the same hand that some of us, if we're out in the world, you know, I could hold a beer with this hand and do other things and do awful things with my hands. I still got the same hands.
That's right.
But what changed? The vessel inside.
That's right.
That's what changed when inside. And I want to do a little something. Brother Chris and I were talking about this. It's a little bit off the subject, but it's not because he's talking about a resurrection. But the Bible says that this earthly tabernacle were dissolved. Now, see, I'm not part of that. I'm not dying. I'm not dying. If this earthly tabernacle were dissolved.
Right.
Now, what is your body? Your body is a capsule that holds you together. I read a quote just this morning, Brother Brown said, your bones, your flesh, and your blood is what holds everything together.
Amen.
On the outside.
That's right.
What do you do when you have a pill that's a capsule that you put in your body? What does it do? It dissolves so that what's on the inside does you good.
That's right.
All right? So if your earthly tabernacle were dissolved and put in the ground, what's going to do you good is what's inside that capsule. Okay? Then you'll reach down and pick that capsule up. We know that. But anyway, let's go through this. We ain't going to never get in hardly the book much. Okay? That's all right. We good. If you're not liking this, let me know. Okay. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? That's us. Believers.
Yes.
Listen, we've got to believe. I told them out there Sunday, I believe it wasn't me and Chris. We got to believe something that's really never happened.
That's right.
Because now Enoch, we don't know what happened to him. He's somewhere.
That's right.
But there is a group of people that is not going, and even Jesus had to go to a grave.
That's right.
Everybody that's born of a woman is dead. Whether we're alive or not. But something's got to change that we were not that we which are alive and remain. We which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord. We got to shift ourselves into that group. But the problem is we go look at too many graveyards. You know, we look back, well, Sister So-and-so, or, you know, right here, the womb of our mind is our greatest problem.
Yes.
And it's not your flesh brain.
No.
Your flesh brain is just like this right here. There's nothing wrong with it until you put in what,
exactly,
what you put in. All right? Okay? So now it's what Paul's trying to tell them. But see, what you and I have to glean out of this is since the 1500s, people have read this and died. Get them saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? Live a good life. That's what Brother Brown was saying in the questions and answers on the seals. He said, go on as you are. This is not for you. Live a good Christian life. He wasn't calling them not Christians. He just said the right crystal is not here.
Right.
To receive what I'm preaching, in other words.
Right.
Well, I believe that the right crystal's here.
Amen.
I mean, we're just it. We're the people he was talking to. Okay. Not saying they were all lost. No, live a good Christian life. You were saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. You've done all you're supposed to do in your age. But when the seals opened, Brother Brown saw that there was a group of people that was going to do more than just believe. Because they were believing unto. Everybody's believing unto. Right now, we're believing unto a resurrection. We got to believe unto a change.
That's right.
Okay? All right, so read this scripture with a little understanding. Okay, watch. To all that be in Lula. To all that be in Lula. Georgia. Beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you, Paul talking to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, as we always say this, let me give you these little pointers as we go along. Paul's not a Trinitarian, so what's Paul saying? Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you take that by English, that's separating and bringing new thought in. But that word "and," if you'll look it up in your Strong's and your concordances, that "and" is interpreted as "even." Brother Dale said it many times, many years. So watch. From God our Father, even the Lord Jesus Christ. What he's doing is he's giving Jesus full benefit.
Yes.
The God and Father, even the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the same person.
That's right.
All right. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Because remember, you got to go to Christ.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is the what? The way, the truth, and the life to what? To understand the Father.
Amen.
To understand the Father,
right,
you got to go through Jesus Christ because he was a human.
That's right.
We've never met God, the Creator. No man has seen God at any time. I'm quoting the Bible. But there was somebody came here that what? Showed us who he was.
Amen.
All right? Yeah. And that way we can... You can't understand a God that when he spoke Genesis 1:26, that today he's not 1 second older. Not 1 second.
That's right.
Is he older than when he said, let there be light.
Amen.
And it's been, of course, millions of years if it wanted to be. And you can't fathom that, neither can I.
That's right.
How can you fathom eternity? Brother Brown's eternity goes both ways. So you go back as far as you want to. You keep going, bam, 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 bam. We keep going, bam, 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 bam. And he's not even a second older than he was. See, we can't fathom that.
Right.
But now Jesus Christ come down in time.
Amen.
We can fathom that.
Amen.
So through him,
amen,
I can see the Father.
Amen.
Amen. If you've seen me,
you've seen
the Father.
That's right.
I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the world, Lula, Georgia.
Amen.
For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. making requests. If by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. All right, so he's requesting to go to Rome. All right. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. Now look, Paul's not standing there with a bag of gifts, and they have none. That's not what he's saying. But remember, Paul comes to Timothy or whoever it was, and he lays his hand on Timothy and he receives gifts, because the life comes through the body. Maybe Rome had not been taught the thing, same way with Lula, Georgia. Maybe there's people that don't understand our language, but we may part some spiritual gift. Because the first thing we say spiritual gift, what do we think of?
Tongues.
That ain't the first one. Wisdom, faith, read them all. Okay, tongues and interpretations are okay, but if you don't have wisdom, you know what? It's the devil. Amen. I said, if you don't have wisdom, it's the devil. The devil can speak in tongues. All right, but he can't have wisdom of God.
That's right.
He can't have the wisdom of God. You can have the wisdom of God. And then, like Paul says, let me interpolate. Paul is saying, I might have something that you have not previously had before. Not some secret, not some I'm better than you are. Paul never puffed himself up.
No.
But Paul, being a prophet, he knew if he could go to them and speak to them, he may have something a little extra to give them.
Amen.
Wisdom, faith, knowledge, and all those different things. Okay, so Paul's not puffing it up. He's saying, he said that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. Look, to the end, you may be established. What? Established what? Church? No, established in the faith.
Yeah. Right.
Because they don't have a Bible to read. See, you got to look at that. They don't have a Bible to read.
That's right.
So they have to have faith in what some man said. That's why in the first three church ages, God protected that white righteous church. The real one.
Right.
There was a false one that connected to it. You know what that false one did? Started teaching the same thing the other ones did. Except about that much off.
Mm-hmm.
Just enough to get them off. But there was a true church there, and Paul was talking to the true church that when they absorbed something from the preacher, it went into them, and it what? It bore fruit.
That's right.
Okay, and that's what Paul was saying. He said, I'm coming to impart to you some spiritual gift, not gifts, because he was a prophet. If he was a prophet from God, we should listen to him.
Amen.
Same way with Brother Brown, he's a prophet of God, we should listen to him. Minister of the gospel, Brother Dale, anybody like that, you should listen to them.
Amen.
Amen. The good thing we have is, though, is we have internet and we have pause and record and play and backwards and listen to it yesterday. But you know what? I was thinking the other day, do you know, if you were sitting in one of Paul's sermons and he was preaching you a sermon and you didn't make it back to the second service, you lost it.
Yes.
You lost it. How are you going to get it? They wasn't somebody writing it down.
That's right.
Now, Paul may, under the grace of God, may do like we do a lot of times and back up and, you know, redo a part of his sermon. But if you missed it, you just missed it. But you know what? God knew that. God knew that we would have everything else involved. I was talking to somebody the other day. You know, God knows we're busy. He knew this was what we needed. We had to have something in writing. We had to have something on the internet. That if we were busy, or take a vacation. Not a problem with that. Don't mind it a bit. All right, but just lay it out. But see, you'll know that. You know when you lay it out or not. We don't have to be, we don't have to get up and preach about people laying out of church. You know when you lay out church.
Right.
So,
amen.
You know. But going somewhere, that's fine. And you know what? We got all this other these other things you can watch online and stuff, which is wonderful. They didn't have that back then. But you know what? God equipped them with some sounding board, some hearing that we don't have. Because
right.
Remember, the Bible says we have become dull of hearing.
Yes.
We have.
Yes.
I guess they focused a lot more on sermons than we did, because some a lot of times we're like, well, we'll get that next Sunday.
That's okay. Why the 3,000.
One sermon, that's it. One and done. I mean, they were born again from one sermon. And it wasn't long. You know, 45 minutes maybe. I don't know if all that was written down as everything Peter said, but you know what? They got the gist of what Peter was talking about. And they said, man, I want what you got.
Amen.
Peter said, okay, repent. So, anyway, so let's keep going. If I move over here a little bit, I can see the clock. Alright, verse 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of both of you and me. So they're putting their faith together. That's what our problem is. We have faith in this and that and the other, and this other brother over here and this other preacher over here. I don't say, listen, don't be so narrow-minded. We can't listen to me. We can't listen just to Brother Dale and make it. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible says apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints. We got to have a fivefold ministry. Right? You can't make it. We had a one-man message, and that was William Brown.
Amen.
Now it's multiple. Multiple. We need the different diversities. That's why it's a fold. It's a fivefold ministry. You open one fold, and there's apostles. You open this fold, there's prophets. Open this fold, there's teachers. Right? Whoa, verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you. Now here he's telling them why, but was let hitherto. In other words, what was he done? He was let hitherto. In other words, he was hindered. Whether God didn't want him to go there, you know, Brother Brown, a lot of times he'd pray and God tell him no, he wouldn't go.
Right.
Okay. That I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Because remember, most of Rome was Gentiles.
That's right.
There was a few Jews. But most of Roman, they're heathen Gentiles. Remember, Rome conquered the world, and they're the ones that come up with the crucifixion, and they're the ones that come up with all these horrible tortures and stuff, okay? So Rome was just a heathen place. Or Italy, you may say, the country of Italy. Was Italy at that time, Aaron? Or was it just Rome a part of whatever the...
Just part of the empire.
Yeah, it wasn't Italy, so we'll just use Rome because Rome's going to be the seat of everything anyway. So, kind of interesting that holds all the way through that, you know, even when we get to Revelation, they're going to drop a bomb in the Vatican. You know, Brother Brown said they're going to drop a bomb right on top of the Vatican.
Right.
So the Vatican is where? In Rome. Downtown. Okay, so... So that's the seat, you know, that's the seat of Satan. That's where, and you know what? It's going to make the people, even make nominal people so mad. It's going to make politicians so mad. It's going to make the government so mad till whoever's bomb it is going to hit that thing and blow it up. So they hated it too. Verse 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Oh my gosh, Paul, don't go talk to them people. But he's in debt to them. Both to the wise and unwise. What kind of grace is that? So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. So he's getting ready to make a trip. Right? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone. Now look, he brings it to Jew, Greek, Rome, anybody, to everyone that believeth. Keeps going. To the Jew first. Now we know that Jesus Christ came to the Jews first. Okay, they turned him down. So lo, I go to the Gentiles. Alright, you got that. Alright. Now watch. For therein, now what therein, what is therein? It's the salvation. Because the power of God and salvation. See, Paul's holding this thought. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. See, that's the statue of perfect man. You keep on believing.
That's right.
Faith, virtue. Remember I preached a long time ago? Virtue, faith. Knowledge, faith. Temperance, faith. You've got to believe that that's what God, that that's the faith of God.
Right.
And that the virtue is the virtue of God. The temperance is the temperance of God. All right? As it is written, the just shall live by faith. He goes right back to Habakkuk 2 and 4. So he goes back into the Old Testament and pulls it out. The just shall live by faith. Now see, that got these letters, I don't want to say got lost, but they kind of did. You know, they didn't get picked up till they were found and put together and all that. Because what? Martin Luther picks that up right there. He says, man, that's in the Old Testament. And now I'm reading Paul. What do you mean the just shall live by faith? I got to do penance. Does anybody understand why Martin Luther preached the just shall live by faith? The just shall live by faith. Now what the Catholic Church is the just shall live by penance.
Right.
Don't eat fish on Friday, or eat fish on Friday, and mm-hmm. you understand what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Take your rosary beads, that's not rosary beads, but take your rosary beads out and pray 12 times, you know, to certain saints. Right?
Right.
That's what the Catholic Church had put from right here. From right here he's talking. Until Martin Luther, which this was in AD 60, and Martin Luther came in about, what, 1400, 1500, something like that. Look how much they had messed that up. Because
yeah.
Paul's telling them, he said, hey, the power of God unto salvation is that the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
And that's true. We still do that. We live by faith. We are faith people.
Yeah.
Show me justification. Take it out and hand it to me. Show me sanctification. Take it out and hand it to me. Because I don't have faith if I say, well, I need to find my phone. I don't have to find the phone. I got it in my hand.
That's right.
That's not faith. Faith is like Brother Branham said, and this is what stumped a lot of people. He said that if I may have left my knife on the counter in the motel room, he said, but if I believe that God put it in my pocket, it'll be in my pocket.
That's
faith without sight. The Roman Catholic Church was faith with sight. Because look, you got to understand one thing. There are some, we say Roman Catholic and everybody goes hellbound. You know? No, they're not all hellbound people. God will give them eternal life, maybe, whatever they decide, by their works. Because that's all they knew. That's all they knew. But when Martin Luther, though, see, that's how God works. When Martin Luther comes out in that fourth church age, fifth church age, and says, the just shall live by faith, and began preaching, that's why Brother Ramsey said he turned the world upside down. Why? He changed their thinking. But what happened was, they got so radical about it, so they went out and started burning Catholic churches and killing. I don't know if they ever killed a priest, but they sure did beat them up pretty bad. That wasn't what Martin Luther was saying. He was not saying the just shall live by the sword. No, he was saying the just shall live by faith. And you know what? He was preaching a separation gospel.
Yes.
But not separate and kill these, you know, do away with these. No, you got to leave them alone. Leave them out here, but you separate yourself. So here Paul is saying the just shall live by faith. He's going back to Habakkuk. But Martin Luther reads that and says, man, I see it in Paul's writings and I see it in the Old Testament. There's something to this. And you know what? The Holy Ghost comes down, quickens what he read, and here he went. We don't need to, you know, be... Have you ever watched a movie? Now, that movie was good. I think it was Albert Fiennes or one of them played. It was a more modern one. But it really showed that he was trying to be a good monk. He was trying to be a good Catholic guy. I mean, he'd crawl on the floor, lay out, you know, on the floor, trying to get those evil things out of his mind and all of. All he needed was a new birth. He didn't need to beat himself. Okay? So, that's what Paul's saying. You believe. Faith. You got to take faith and believing and put them together. Okay? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, nobody has seen Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, literally. Okay? That's what I was telling them over there in Arizona. The thunders is this great mystery that God's hid in the Bible, but it's in every word. Every page of the Bible is a thunder. Because it's what? It's the voice of God speaking to you.
Amen.
Amen? All right. So let's finish this right here, and then we'll go. Got about 2 minutes. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Remember, there's nothing on earth going to give you a revelation. Your revelation has to come from God out of this dimension, from another dimension to you. That's what he's saying. It's revealed from heaven. Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, look, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, we're going to stop right there, and I want you to think about that until next Sunday. Look, they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They have the truth. But somehow they add something or take something from it and make it unrighteous. We'll talk about that next Sunday. Let's go. Yep. Well, it says unrighteousness of men. So. Who hold the truth and unrighteousness.
Well, that's good, brother.